know, it's, this is my little danger, I will have some patience with me.
Absolutely, we've all been.
Make this court, my name is Lindsey Honeycutt, I represent Christopher Wilson. This is a attempted arson charge from Floyd County Circuit Court. Essentially, the facts really aren't necessarily an issue, so I'm just going to skip over those, but it's really just a definition issue.
You say it's really just a what?
It's simply a definitional issue. From Mr. Wilson's standpoint, under Miller versus Commonwealth, the plain ordinary word is given a common everyday meaning. And this court, and all of our courts, should send the legislature, chose the words they use with care. And to date, the definition of a storehouse hasn't really been dealt with. The Attorney General's office has made some arguments stating that it has, under the, on brief, they've stated that it has, in the context of the burglary statutes. But in reality, I do not think it has been, and it's been reported that it hasn't been. But being that this court is obligated to assume the legislature chose its words with care, and that the word storehouse hasn't been defined, I'd ask the court to do that. The rules that are in place are already there, so the tools for the court to use are already there. But as far as the facts of the case are pertinent to this, is that this is obvious from looking at the exhibits that were included in the appendix. It's just a convenience store. It's a gas station on the side of the road. It's not a storehouse. There was some mention in the trial transcript where the trial court mentioned that there was grain stored there, but just inside there were actually buckets of grain and scoops in it for retail sale. Everything in the store was for retail sale.
So let me ask you about that. Does the record show, did any of the witnesses testify about the grain storage, or was that just the judge?
That was just off the cuff comment from Judge Law.
So there's no evidence in the record of the grain storage?
No, ma'am. Not from testimony. Not to my recollection.
Not from testimony.
Could be wrong, but I don't remember that. I believe it was just an off-the-cuff comment from the trial court when he was stating that it was a storehouse. But it's really everything that's in that storage for retail sale. There's a gas station by Mr. Wilson there. There were people pulling up. They were getting gas. There was actually one of the witnesses who was across the road waiting for a spot to pull up and get gas.
Ask you this about the storehouse. If it's a convenience store and you have... you've got bread and milk and all sorts of things like that in there that are to be sold.
Yes.
Aren't they stored while they're before they're sold, and at least when it's closed, it's not all up for retail sale,
you know,
at that point?
I believe the proper way of stating that would be there on display. They're actually kept. I included some definitions from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. That a storehouse is a building for storing goods, but that can be differentiated from a store, which is a business establishment where usually diversified goods are kept for retail sale. So I think it has to do with the purpose for which the items were kept. They're not there for storage, they're there on display for retail sale. They're there so that customers can come in. The place is open for the public to walk in and come. It's a public place. And all the items that are there are placed there for display for public sale. They're there for retail sale. Actually, in my brief, the Attorney General's office used the Black's Law Dictionary definition of a storehouse as a structure in which things are stored. That is still different from something that is on display for retail sale. A storehouse, if you look at the statute in 18.2-79, which is the statute that Mr. Wilson was charged under, the words warehouse and storehouse are placed right next to each other, and I think that evidences the fact that the legislature intended those to be placed together because they're very closely related, they're synonymous in that. A warehouse is very close in nature to a storehouse. It's a place where things are stored.
And that's what I was really going to ask you, is what would you say, from your perspective, would be the difference between a storehouse and a warehouse?
Well, I think it's exactly as it's mentioned in the Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. I think that a store, which from the record, all of the witnesses testified that it is a store. They never said it is a storehouse. They said it's a store. Even the court said that it is a store. The Commonwealth's attorney said it is a store. None of them ever used the word storehouse until we got into the definitional argument on our motion to strike. It was never brought up. It was never an issue. Everyone said it's a store, which is in line with my argument that this court is to give the legislature's wording its plain, ordinary meaning. Everyone's plain, ordinary meaning at trial was that this is a store. It's not a storehouse.
So what's the difference between a warehouse and a storehouse?
Well, I think they're very similar in nature. A warehouse, everyone knows, I believe you have to have a bill of lading to be able to pick up your items from a warehouse. But they're pretty much the same thing. It's just a place where things are stored. You can A warehouse and a storehouse are pretty much exactly the same. I didn't look up the definition, I can do that if you want. But I think the reason why they're placed so closely together is because they basically do mean the same thing.
So what's a banking house?
A banking house?
Is it a bank?
I do not know, I never looked it up. It possibly could be, I do not know. It could be a bank, but...
Is your position basically that they charged under the wrong statute and they should have charged under 80?
Yes, that's correct. And the 80 is pretty much just a catch-all provision. It is basically all it is. And the Attorney General's office makes the argument that there's also another statute, other burglary statutes, that operates the same way. It's meant to expand the scope. And it's not going to be used as a loophole, as the Attorney General's office is going to argue. It actually expands the meaning of the chapter. And it does. It gives another option if it doesn't fit in 18.3-79 in the arson statutes. But the Commonwealth trial has the burden of proving each and every item. It comes down to a burden of production. Commonwealth did not meet the burden of production in showing that this was a storehouse.
Can I ask you, could it be not the sort of catch-all in 18.2-79 or other house, now it does say house, or other house, whether the property of himself or of another person, not usually occupied by persons lodging therein at night?
Yes, sir. Well, exactly as you stated, it's a house. And that would be more in line with the Sloan versus Commonwealth case. Of course, it's a slip.
But it's a what? I'm sorry.
The Sloan versus Commonwealth case, mm-hmm. which was in my brief. That would be more in line with that. It would be a house that's not otherwise occupied at night. But it also, it would also be considered a storehouse as well, because the primary purpose of it was a storehouse. It also wasn't turned over to the public for retail sale items. They were not on display for the public to come in and buy. It was a storehouse for those two men who operated a partnership together.
I guess where I'm having trouble is if it's a storehouse, they could just say store. But if it's a storehouse and part of it is used to store things in, and certainly all of it is used to store what's going to be there for retail sale, why can't it be a place for retail sale and storing?
Well, the problem is that nobody ever really went into it. The slip opinion doesn't differentiate, it doesn't define, it doesn't really pin that issue down. We don't know. It's also the other issues that were the other cases that were brought up in the Attorney General's brief is that there were a list of examples of these cases where a storehouse has been used in the context of a burglary, but the problem with those is that they never came out and actually said that they were storehouses.
Your point is they weren't at issue in the case?
No.
The definition.
I think the issue actually in all of those cases was more or less whether it's actually a structure, as in a building affixed to real property. It doesn't become part of the real property. It was one issue involving a school bus, I believe it was Cruz versus Commonwealth, which they just said it just wasn't a structure, so it doesn't fall under 18.2-9, which was a burglary statute. But that was the main issue. The definition of storehouse was not an issue. And then going backwards, we have Avery versus Commonwealth, where we have a storehouse. But if you read the opinion, it says burglary of the storehouse of a clothing company. It doesn't say burglary. That's the only thing it can cover, is that it's not burglary of a clothing company. It was burglary of a storehouse of a clothing company. You have the same issue in Fields versus Commonwealth. Burglary of the storehouse of a funeral. It does not say burglary of a funeral home, it's burglary of the storehouse of a funeral home. Ferguson versus Superintendent of Virginia State Penitentiary, burglary of the storehouse of an auto parts store. It does not say burglary of the auto parts store, but they determined that those were burglaries of the storehouse. But still, in those cases, they were not, that issue was not the definition of a storehouse. That issue was never put before the court. But all of those cases came down to whether or not the structure was going to be counted as a building or a structure. I think the simplest issue was the, I believe it was the burglary case involving, I think it's burglary of a storehouse where they had some lawnmowers that had been repaired and they were storing them there so the owner could come pick them up. And the whole issue was a structural argument. It wasn't about whether it was a storehouse.
Can I ask you, does everyone agree though that whether the Czech Country store is a storehouse is essentially not what a storehouse means, but whether the Czech Country store is a storehouse is a finding of fact by the trial court.
Well, it definitely is. The case law is very clear that it's a finding of fact. But I believe that the case law also states that the trial court's decision will be reversed if it is not supported by the evidence. And all of the evidence points to the fact that this is a convenience store. It's not a store. Things were not very place simply for store. It may even come down to an issue of primary purpose, whether the building or the structure, or even a portion of the building or structure, was primarily used for storage. And in this case, it's not. It was used for retail sale. It was on display. It was kept for retail sale, which is in line with the definition of the Maryland tradition.
And there's no evidence in the record of storage in the back of the store, or the or that they have bulk storage in the back?
No, ma'am.
That's not anywhere in the record.
I think the best evidence was the owner, Mr. Lemaine, testified that it was a store. He said it was a store. It was operated for profit. It's a retail store. It's a gas station. There are gas pumps in the front. It's just like if you went to an Exxon.
So what is the effect of the trial judge saying that there's storage of grain?
Okay.
Is that judicial notice or?
No, ma'am.
What is that?
I believe it was just an off-the-cuff comment. I mean, I think that there was some, I believe there may have been some evidence that there was grain there, but I don't think anybody actually said it was stored. When you first walk into the store, there are buckets of grain, and they have scoops in them in the bags, and it's so the customers can come in if they want to buy dry goods. They can use the scoop, they scoop it out, put it in a bag, and go to the cash register and buy it. It wasn't there for storage. It was there for on display for retail sales.
But that's not in the record either.
I don't believe.
I mean, that discussion about where the grain, you know, the buckets.
I think that the only thing that was said about it was I believe during Commonwealth's examination of one of the witnesses was that there was a grain that was worth walking. And then I believe the court said, well, there was grain stored there. But nobody actually said it was stored there. I don't believe that was actually on the record. I think that was an off-the-cuff comment by the court. But in reality, what it is that there are scoops and buckets, and they can just buy them.
And I should let you know that you're in your rebuttal time. Would you like to reserve the remainder?
Thank you very much. Of course, this is considered de novo on appeal on the definition of the issue. This is de novo on appeal. So it is as if this court is looking at this issue for the first time, even regardless of what's on the record, it's de novo. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Darren.
Good morning. May it please the court. May Darren for the Commonwealth. First of all, the de novo on appeal comment just made by counsel, we submit that in Dalton, this court determined that whether a structure was a storehouse was a question of fact for the trial court to decide, and that question of fact is not to be disturbed on appeal unless it was plainly wrong.
So coming up with the definition of storehouse to the extent that that's necessary would be de novo, and then whether or not the trial court properly applied the facts to that definition would then be the deferential standard of review. Is that a fair summary?
The issue for this court to decide is whether the trial court's determination that this was a storehouse was plainly wrong or without evidence to support it. I'd like to take the court's attention to page 66 of the appendix record, page 66 and 67 of the appendix record, where the witness Austin is testifying that about the Czech Country store, and he says on page 67 that he went into the store through the feed room to check on his wife. And then on page 68.
Say on 67, the feed room. Where is
it? Feed room on page 67 at the top of four lines down.
I see it now. Thank you.
The feed room to check on my wife. on page 68, the witness refers to Kathy coming back out through the grain room. At the bottom of page 68, the witness says, he was in another part of the store apparently, and he went back in and told Kathy, who was an employee and might have also been his wife, but nevertheless, somebody else in the store, to go back in the grain room and lock the door and stay there. Then we move to page 108 of the appendix record, where the judge makes his determination of whether or not this structure, the country, Czech country store, was a storehouse. And the judge says he thinks it fits within the definition under 18279. He says there's grain stored there. I think it could go under warehouse or storehouse, so your motion is overruled. So we submit at the threshold, the court made a finding of fact that there was grain stored at this Czech country store. It fell within the definition of storehouse. I would like to submit that other counsel's reference to buckets of grain in the front of the store, there's no evidence in the record.
What? Say that again, please.
Buckets, he referred to buckets of grain with scoops in the front of the store. There is no evidence to that effect in the record. So what we do have in the record are the owner or a witness. I think he's the owner. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Mr. Austin, wasn't he the man working?
Oh, yes, he was the man working on the door. Yes, that's correct. But he is the one who's saying, whose testimony I refer to at page 67 through 68, and referring to feed room and grain room, and then we have Judge Long making a ruling on page 108.
From your perspective, would it be any different if the court had come back and said, well, I think that there's feed and grain sold there as opposed to stored there? Is that any different from your perspective?
Our argument on brief is that this structure did not lose its status as a storehouse simply because its retail sales also occurred in the store. And we rely basically on the case law using the word storehouse by the Virginia Supreme Court. Now, granted, an issue in those cases, which are cited in our brief on page 10, starting at page 10 through 11, the issues in these cases is not whether or not this structure was a storehouse. We give defense counsel that. But our point here is that the Virginia Supreme Court and this court is referring to certain retail structures as storehouses. And so,
but that's dicta unless the court is ruling on whether it's a storehouse.
Well, it's certainly agreed. The issue in the case is not.
So it may be persuasive as.
It's not whether or not that particular structure was a storehouse. However, it's certainly persuasive that the Virginia Supreme Court referred to a retail department store as a storehouse in Vincent versus Commonwealth. In Ridley versus Commonwealth, they refer to a furniture store as a storehouse. In Ferguson, they refer to a Western Auto store as a storehouse. We've got Williams, the Jones, which is the Jones Appliance Center. We've got McDougal, which is Esso Gas Station. And we have one other here, Event, which is a clothing company. In all of those cases, they're commercial establishments, retail establishments, and they're referred to by the Virginia Supreme Court and this court as storehouses. The law of statutory construction provides that where the code, the Virginia code, is but one body of law, and we look to the entire code and the meaning and the words as they are employed in other sections to, where possible, to decide the definition of or use of a phrase in the analysis of a code section in question. And we submit that given the use of the word storehouse as applied to all of those cases under the burglary statute, most of those cases are burglary cases, that is certainly persuasive authority for the fact that this particular country store did not lose its status as a storehouse simply because it also was a retail establishment.
Let me ask you this. The use of the term feed room and grain room, isn't that, absent the judge's ruling, isn't that as consistent with what counsel said, that there are a bunch of buckets there? And I mean, obviously that's not in the record, but feed room or grain room doesn't necessarily mean that it's being stored there. It could be that it's displayed there for purchase, since it's a country store.
Well, I would say that that was a decision for the trial court, a factual finding for the trial court to make, and the trial court determined that that evidence established this structure as a storehouse.
And accepting the Commonwealth's definition of storehouse is what would separate it under the code section from storehouse versus a warehouse, basically?
Yes, I think that's a good point, that both of those terms are used under 19279. And there's, taking other counsel's definition, those two words, which are used in the statute one right after the other sequentially, they would basically have the same meaning. And so we submit that the legislature had a different term, had a different meaning when it employed the word storehouse and warehouse in the same statute. And I think that the case law, I believe it's Knight versus the Commonwealth, but it's cited in our brief, where the Virginia Supreme Court was talking about 18280, which is the catch-all arson statute, where it makes mention of the fact that the legislature was intending to expand and to be more to cover more potential structures in when enacting 80. And I think other counsel's argument, employing that same logic, other counsel's argument cuts against this concept of being more inclusive than less inclusive. And finally, I think that this defendant honestly could have been charged under 79 or 80. And so as we've argued, the Buchanan case, it stands for the proposition that the charging is an issue for the Commonwealth's attorney. And so, and in this particular case, he was charged under 18279. I also note that the penalty for both of those, 18279 and 80, are exactly the same penalty with regard to the circumstances of this case. Again, it was a factual matter. This was a factual matter. Whether or not the structure was a storehouse is a factual matter for the trial court to decide. Its decision should be upheld unless plainly wrong. We submit the court's determination was not plainly wrong, and we ask that the conviction be affirmed.
Can I ask if you agree with Mr. Honeycutt that the sort of catch-all provision, if you will, under 18.2-79, or other hives, whether the property of himself or of another person not usually occupied by persons lodging therein at night, would not apply here?
I'm sorry.
That's in the middle of 18.2-79, the last, after you list everything.
It does seem to you that the main statute is 77, and that statute really covers dwelling houses, also covers churches, but basically that statute, 77, covers dwellings, places where people sleep or habitate. It talks about boats and cars and railroad cars, places people lodge, places people sleep. I think that what they're doing in 80 is simply trying to draw a distinction between 79 and 77. Of course, the penalty under 77 is a maximum up to life in prison. So I think that part of the statute is really a clarification about whether the charge should fall under 77
or 79.
Or 79.
One other question for you, Ms. Darren. in the final order of the court, which is on page 10 of the appendix.
Yes, Your Honor.
It shows the conviction for attempted arson, but leaves out 79. It has only 18.2-26, the attempt statute.
Yes.
And it appears that the pre-sentence order originally did the same thing, and then they, on page 3, you see where they amended that to add 79.
Yes.
Does this need, if we were to agree with you that it should be affirmed, does this need to be remanded for a correction?
Yes, that would be right. The indictment, which is on page 1, charges 26 and 79. And so, yes, to the extent, excuse me, just let me one. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at pages 2 and 3 and 10 of the appendix.
That's right. And I'm looking at 10. Yes, Your Honor, I think it would need to go back.
And it could be remanded for correction of essentially a clerical error.
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Honeycutt, you have your rebuttal time. And if you could, give me your thought on that. Obviously, I know your arguments.
I had seen that, and I didn't know how to address it. I thought I would agree with it.
And obviously, if we agree with you, it would go back anyway. Or
I do. But what I'm asking for is the court to decide that the court should grant my motion to strike. There, although, as Ms. Darren stated, that there was mention of going through the feed room and going through the green room, under the law, it says the trial court's determination will not be reversed if it is supported by the evidence. But as Judge Decker stated, it's just as likely that if it's within my definition under the way it was discussed in testimony, that it is in keeping with it being a store as it is a storehouse. On the other hand, if the court were to look at the other evidence on the record that everyone mentioned over and over and over again that this is a store, if you look at the exhibits, it is a gas station. There are gas pumps out there. It's a store for retail sale. The evidence is overwhelming that it's simply a store. It is not a storehouse.
Counsel, follow me on this. So, and I asked Ms. Darren the same question. Without the trial judge's comments and ruling, a feed room or a grain room could just as easily be as you described versus as she described. But how do you deal with the fact that the trial judge said the words to the effect of there's grain stored there, so it's storage? Well, essentially pulling from that evidence relating to grain room and feed room.
Well, how I deal with that is simply that the judge was trying to make sure that he rationalized the fact that my client, he believed that the evidence was that the client did what my client, Mr. Wilson, did what the allegation said he did. But
we can't read behind the mind of the trial judge, and he said what he said.
He did say what he said, but he also didn't really go into what the definition of the storehouse is. He didn't have no research. He didn't take a break. He didn't take a recess. He didn't look up the issue. It was straight from the bench. And that's what the Court of Appeals is for, is to double-check and see whether or not the judge made the right call.
So your position is he was plainly wrong?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I think that the evidence is overwhelming that it's a convenience store. It's a gas station. When you look at the other evidence, it's clear that this is a store. Everybody said that this was a store.
Can a building be both?
I believe it could be, but usually there is at least a portion that is going to be counted as the storehouse, and this is through the main entrance. As through the testimony is that the door that was locked is the main entrance, it's the front door. It's not partitioned off. It's part of the store, and it's the green room, but it is there for retail sale. It's not there simply for storage. Also, if I could go back to the other cases that were given as examples by Ms. Darren, with the Ridley case, the opinion actually says burglary of a storehouse of a furniture store. The defendant was charged with burglary of a storehouse of the home furniture company. In Ferguson, it was burglary of a storehouse of an auto parts store. In the opinion, it reads that the defendant was charged with burglary of the storehouse of the Western Auto Store. In Williams versus Commonwealth, which only mentions a storehouse as it relates to the citation of Avon versus Commonwealth, they didn't deal with that issue at all. In Avon versus Commonwealth, the opinion simply states burglary of the storehouse of a clothing company. And they mentioned the defendant was charged with burglary of the storehouse.
You're saying that
of
that
clothing.
They're distinguishing between.
Yes, sir, they are.
But why isn't it likely to be the same building? And I know your time is up, but...
It could possibly be the same building. It could be, but it sounds to me like they are differentiating this for a reason. But right there when you walk into that store, it's not partitioned off. You walk through it to go to the store. I mean, it's not even 4 feet long. It's more like an alcove. It's more like an airlock. You just walk in through the main door. Right there is grain and buckets.
But none of that's in the evidence.
No, ma'am. It's not in the evidence. But I would still maintain that the overwhelming evidence is that this is a store and it's a gas station. It's not a storehouse. And it's not the storehouse of the store. I don't know where that would be. It would probably be in the back. But it does stand to reason that it would not be in the front of the main entrance. Who keeps a storehouse through the main entrance? That is in the evidence.
Your time has expired, but I'll let you wrap up very quickly.
I'll apologize to everybody for prolonging this, but just out of curiosity, what would you call a place like Costco that labels itself as a warehouse but offers things for sale and really has no storage in the back area? Everything they have is either on the shelves for sale or is stacked above things. What do you call a place like that?
I would submit to the court that would be a store for retail sale. I'm sure they have a warehouse somewhere else. Walmart has distribution centers. Those are warehouses. Those are storehouses.
So the fact that Costco labels itself essentially as a warehouse.
It's only something that they tell that they sell to the public. It's probably just something that they do to appeal.
And I have to follow up there because
I knew a warehouse and
a storehouse. I mean, if you look at that definition, the General Assembly has essentially put the same definition in twice.
Really?
The same term in twice.
They have, but I think that they placed them there because they're closely related and synonymous. How about Men's Warehouse? Men's Warehouse is a clothing store. That's not a storehouse. That's not a warehouse. That's a place where you go and buy suits.
Except they're spelling that WEAR. Yeah, more of a play on words.
But either way. I mean, it's simply just in the name. It's whatever they chose to name the store. It doesn't mean it's true. The truth is going to be in the function. The truth is going to be in what it's for, what the primary purpose is. And the primary purpose of the Jet Country store is that it's simply a store. Let's take for granted your house.
Can you wrap up very quickly? Because I've given you a bunch of extra time, but we've asked you a lot of questions too.
But let's look at it this way. I have furniture in my clothing stored in my home. Does that make it a storehouse? Does that make it a warehouse? No, that's my home. It's a dwelling. Okay, just because I have things that are stored there. What about my garage? That's a garage. That's where I keep my vehicle. That's where I keep my tools. But it doesn't mean that's my storehouse. It doesn't mean it's my warehouse. It's my garage. All right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Honeycutt. We appreciate your argument.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience. I know I was really rough, but thank you so much for giving me.
I appreciate your argument.